It always happens, the bigger the feast day, the bigger the readings, and the tougher it is to get everything done and get people out to work. The first reading we have from the prophet Isaiah, the Lord told Achaz to ask for help. Achaz was a crook, but he wanted him to be believing that the army facing him was not going to prevail. But the sign, you see, behold, the Alma shall be with child. The Alma is a young woman, very often the queen mother. But it has a very important significance here. So when they translated the Bible into Greek, they didn't translate just young woman. They translated Parthenos, the virgin. There are many instances of this. We don't have time to go into them now, where the Septuagint enshrines an understanding of the Old Testament, which is very profound and very correct. And this is one example. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and she shall name him, which is very rare, Emmanuel, which means God with us. So one of Jesus' names is God with us. I think when you get a chance today, really, read these texts again, if you've got your Magnificat with you or something. Because we can't, in the few minutes we have, allow people to get into the depth of this and be in awe. Huh? God became man. We're so used to the phrase, God became man. Think about that. God became man. So that entering in, as it says in the psalm, you see, entering into our humanity, he would have a body to offer to God in reparation for our sins. And that's his same famous Psalm 40. Behold, I come, you've written to your laws within my heart. But there is a line where it's translated, not in the Hebrew, a body you fitted out for me. Because then with a body, I can serve you from the very depth of this material universe. I can serve you in a way that makes reparation for all my brothers and sisters with whom I share flesh. And that's the, when Christ came into the world, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In this, as I say, this translation, which is the traditional, what I'm trying to say is, you see, that the Hebrew text doesn't have body there, it has another word. And then we have the Annunciation itself. Gabriel was sent from God to a town, Nazareth. Well, as I've told you before, and many of you know yourself, it's a big, bustling, semi-Muslim, semi-Christian town with a great big basilica in the middle of it. But outside of that, life goes on. There's nothing. Whereas Bethlehem, there's much more awareness of the incarnation. I once asked our Lord when I was praying there in Nazareth, I said, Lord, you let Assisi still have an aura. Why didn't you do that for yourself? And let your town be a place of aura, of incarnation, instead of a big bustling, you know. And he said, I like to honor my friends. That's all he said. And so, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. and you shall name him Yehoshua. God saves. And this, the prophecy. And then Our Lady, aware that she's called to be a virgin, asks, how is this going to happen? And he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Try to take some time today to let that reality sink into your mind and into your spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the power of the Most High will come upon you. And what is born, what is conceived in you, will be God, the Son of God. And that's what we celebrate today. It's always the case, the bigger the feast, the more things to do, the less time for preaching. It's a big jip, really. But, you know, we have to go along with reality. And so then she says, behold, I am the servant, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Take time today to let the Holy Spirit fill you with some awe. God became man to take us out of our sin and darkness and weakness and short-sightedness and prepare us for an eternal life.